From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for October 7th, 2022. Checking the calendar, this Sunday you can have breakfast with the Packers as they play the New York Giants in jolly old England at 8:30 in the morning. And the Bucks preseason is underway with a couple of road games this coming week. And if you've always wanted to be a lumberjack, there's Flannel Fest this Saturday at Cooperage on Water. Our podcast introduction has an international flair today. John Paul College in Perth, Australia, has banned a student from school because he has a mullet. You know the haircut, business in the front, party in the back. Now, if you're in college and you're still wearing a mullet, save your money, just drop out now. It's been said that Germans don't have a sense of humor. Well, Burger King of Germany has added some new burgers to their menu to test that theory. You can choose from a burger with fried eggs and bananas, or a curry sausage patty with marinated herring, or a burger with layers of pancakes, fresh raspberries, and ice cream, all of it on a bun. That's hysterical, unless it's real. We're going back to jolly old England for the next one. There was a man who marketed himself as the Naked Carpenter. Well, he soon got arrested, but he obviously didn't understand why. He showed up for court wearing clear plastic pants. And finally, another naked dude story. It's our goofy headline of the week. A naked Florida man drinks 2 liters of vodka, burns down his house, baking cookies on his George Foreman grill. On the podcast today, we have Dave Sandstrom, Paige Radke, Joel Driesing, and wrapping up the week, here's Kyle Tedding.
Well, how fitting, Max. We're in the middle of the USA Mullet Championships right now. Both the kids and teen division won by folks from Wisconsin. And the headliner for the adult division, also a Wisconsin individual. So a lot to be proud about here for all of our clients listening in Wisconsin.
It's scary that you know that.
Well, as a hockey parent, you pay attention to good hair. A week we can maybe joke about a little bit because of how strong the markets were. NASDAQ up 0.7%, closing at 10,652. The S&P up 1.5%, closing at 3,640. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2%, closing at 29,297. For the year, NASDAQ down 31.5%, the S&P down 22.7%, and the Dow down 18.1%. A quick look at the week performance-wise. Two pretty exceptional days to start the week. Maybe some signs that the economic data was softening a little. Perhaps signs that the Fed may have a little cover to slow the pace of interest rate hikes here at some point in time in the future. And then started to go south again the second half of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The selling just intensified. Dave, I think important to point out that even in the midst of some pretty significant bear markets, you can have some incredible rallying days. You never know when those rallying days are going to be the ones that stick. And so I think important for investors to remember that, you know, despite everything that's going on and certainly plenty to talk about there, you know, maybe staying invested is one way to participate in some of those big up days.
That's right, Kyle. And I think, you know, this is really a pointed reminder that the longer a bear market goes on, the more intense investors get on looking for that opportunity, right, to get back in, that this thing might be turning. So, you know, you do get those strong rallies. Sometimes they might be a little ahead of themselves, but I think it's an indication that investors are ready to try to get this thing turned around. And we're certainly caught in this very unusual sentiment time frame where we're seeing that, you know, good news has been deemed as bad news, as we saw today with a little bit better jobs numbers than were anticipated, and the market sold off. Earlier in the week, it was bad news that drove markets up. So a little counterintuitive at times, but really what that means is that we're hoping that what the Fed is doing to slow the economy is actually working. And we did a little preview of that on Monday and Tuesday. And as you mentioned, it kind of faded as the week went on.
you know, Paige, maybe some signs that perhaps there's some interesting values out there, a lot of different ways we measure that. One we talk about fairly often, the forward price to earnings multiple on the S&P based on forecast 12-month forward earnings now at about 15.5. Well, that's a significant deal relative to long-term averages. But a lot of other ways to kind of get an idea of have we overdone the sell-off? Are stocks too cheap?
Yeah, I think a lot of people right now are asking whether or not the market is oversold. And like you said, it kind of depends on what frame of reference you have for it. So if you look at technical traders, those are the ones that are watching charts and looking for different movements and the extent of those movements over periods of time. They've been arguing that the market's oversold for quite some time now. Whereas you look over at Morningstar, actually just came out with their quarter or start of the quarter look forward looking statements. And one of the things that they pointed out is, you know, they, rather than using the price earnings multiple, they do their own value of fair estimate. And I think it's important to note that prior to 2022, I always considered their fair value estimates to be pretty conservative, especially comparing it to the average analyst consensus that I was seeing on other, you know, financial websites and the like. And now, you know, they're looking at things and saying things are pretty oversold, pretty undervalued. So looking at their fair value estimate at the start of the year, it was looking like broader markets were about 6% overvalued. Now they're looking and saying that they're about 21% undervalued. And again, that's why I underscore the importance of their calculations being pretty conservative relative to what I normally see. And I think the number one thing right now is that we're putting a pretty high weight on the uncertainty in the short term and not putting enough weight on how things might look longer term. And for those of us who are, of course, longer term investors, we can't let the short term noise drive our decision making. We really have to focus on what's down the horizon and allow that to keep us invested and keep us focused on, you know, what's important longer term.
Yeah, I think the cheaper stocks get, the less that short term matters, because the pain that's already been felt is reflective of that risk. And so, you know, you look at what the Fed is doing as a major concern, the potential for recession certainly entering that conversation. Yeah, that's all short-term pain, but if you can buy stuff cheap enough, maybe you're willing to put up with some of that. So, you know, the recession one in particular, one that seems to be making its way into the conversation pretty continually, Paige.
Oh, yeah. I mean, recession, obviously, we've been talking about when is a recession going to come for some or quite some time at this point. But I read an article this week where they had surveyed CEOs around the United States and around the globe. And at this point, 91% of CEOs believe that we are going to see a recession in the next 12 months. And what that indicates to me is that what the Federal Reserve is doing is working. Because that comes on the backdrop of all of the, you know, mixed economic data that we're seeing. Good news is bad news. And really, it's, you know, we look strong in some areas and weak in others. But the fact that the Federal Reserve has been so strong in their language, warning that pain may be on the horizon, we're starting to see that play out in the survey numbers. And my hope is that now that CEOs, especially in the United States, are looking at what the Federal Reserve is doing, again, they continue to be forward-looking, not focus on all of the issues and focus on the opportunities that come with those issues. And as more and more people start to believe we're entering a recession, we may start to see some behavior patterns change, which of course is what the Federal Reserve is trying to do with the language that they're using at the press conferences.
And Paige, I think that's a great point, because I think sometimes investors forget about one of the strongest tools that the Fed employs, and that is their guidance and the way they talk. And it really came to a head a few meetings ago when Chair Powell brought into the conversation about pain, a little bit pain and suffering by households and businesses. And ever since then, his tone has been decidedly more hawkish. And let's face it, the Fed doesn't want to raise interest rates beyond their targets. They would just as soon see inflation come down on its own without having to exhibit some of that pain and suffering. And one way to amplify it without actually raising interest rates much higher is to stick to this very, very hawkish tone. And I think that is actually probably what's working a little bit stronger right now than their actual rate increases.
Yeah, it certainly sets the expectation, right? It's telling consumers, hey, take it easy, don't overdo it, because we're willing to take this a little farther than we might otherwise. And so, yeah, you're spot on there, Dave. Joel, we got economic data this week that points to much of what we're talking about here, some mixed messaging perhaps on where the economy is right now, some data earlier in the week on manufacturing that shows maybe some signs of slowing a little bit, as opposed to some employment data that, while overall optimistic, a little bit mixed there as well.
Yeah, Kyle, I just made some notes before the show about the data this week and things that are showing slowing. We had manufacturing index from the Institute for Supply Management. It was the lowest since May of 2020, the third month in a row that construction spending went down. It was the second month in a row that factory orders went down. On and on, we had the job openings. You were referring to that went down. There were a million fewer job openings in August than there were in July. All of these things, you know, add up to signs that the economy is slowing down. At the same time, the economy is still pretty healthy. I mean, relatively speaking, you know, we've been doing pretty well. So this slowdown is coming from a high pace. Today we have the job numbers from the Labor Department, and again, mixed messages there. You know, we had more payroll jobs in September than we've ever had in the history of time. You know, and it went up, and it keeps going up. But it was the smallest amount that it went up for a year and a half. So it's showing some slowing there. The unemployment rate was down to 3.5%, which is, you know, the lowest it's been in about 50 years. So that's a sign of the strength of the job market. But part of the reason that it went down that far was because there are more people who are taking themselves out of the labor force, who are saying, hey, look, there are fewer job openings out there. There are, you know, more signs that you know, things are tightening up. I'm going to sit on the sidelines and wait till I see something better.
And all of this potentially points to the Fed being able to continue on the path they're on, the market largely expecting a 75 basis point increase at the meeting at the start of November, potentially another 50 to 25 basis points again, 6 weeks later, middle of December, and even looking into February of next year, potentially another 25 basis points. And so, and I think we got to be clear here that we're getting to a place where maybe we can finally start to see that rate slow, right? But it doesn't mean they stop entirely necessarily, and it means they're going to be far more conscious of what the impact so far has been, far more dialed into that data than they've been even from the very beginning, because now you're starting to feel the consequences of those first moves a little more. Now we're starting to see what that looks like. And so, you know, keeping an eye on the Fed will be a key piece of kind of what we're doing to figure out, okay, what's the next leg of this look like? It's been such a critical piece of the early innings of the bear market that you would have some assumptions that whatever a recovery looks like, it's going to depend a bit on the Fed. So, and I think the economic data being so critical to kind of leading to what we hear from the Fed, you know, Dave rightfully pointing out the messaging from the Fed is the thing that maybe we got to be a little more dialed into as far as when we finally get the all clear, you know, for a little more of a run for stocks than just a couple of days we saw this week. You know, the one kind of ongoing trend that we've been dealing with in the investment landscape for, you know, since COVID, but even long before, is these investment firms chasing just interesting ideas, creating product to go after. You know, what we saw during COVID was the meme stocks, but before that, chasing every kind of one-off investment idea with the hope of building a package that might take advantage of that and chase it with money. This week, we saw filings for two ETFs that buy stocks that Jim Cramer has recommended, either going short or long these Jim Cramer stocks. And a lot of this stuff starts as a joke. It starts as, well, what if we just did the opposite of what this investment guru says? What would that mean? And then somebody takes it a little too seriously. They file the paperwork with the SEC to get this put out there. And all of a sudden, you've got investors going, well, is this something I should have? Dave, I know you deal with questions from investors all the time about, is this next great idea the idea that I should have in my portfolio? To me, it's a reminder that every piece of what you hold should have a purpose.
Absolutely right, Kyle. And you know, let's face it, it's not just in investing. You see it in every facet of life, right? There's always this new, remarkable, latest, greatest idea of, you know, whether it's if you're trying to drop a couple of pounds or if it's a new exercise regime, there's always something that is supposedly revolutionary. And I think when nothing could be more telling than history when it relates to the importance of focusing on the fundamentals of investing as it relates to earnings and interest rates over time. And, you know, you can throw a lot of these gimmicks and things to the curb and really just try to keep your eye on the prize, and that is to stick with the fundamentals.
So perhaps not shopping in the as seen on TV aisle for your investments.
That's pretty much, I think, a pretty good course to take, Kyle.
Well, as always, we enjoy doing the program for you, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.